Blog Talk Radio.
Bow down before the King.
灰色楼。Into your presence now we come. It was love that held you on the cross. Oh, that all men can be saved by your grace and your grace alone. Into your presence now we come, grateful for your love, and we grateful for your love, yeah. We grateful for your grace, Jesus. We grateful for your love, yeah. We grateful for
good evening and welcome to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My name is Stacey Lunsford and we have a very exciting message prepared for you tonight. I want to give credit to Dr. Toomey, who is the author of the song that we was listening to entitled Grateful. And I wanted to open up with that song. In the lyrics, it starts out saying, so grateful for your love, so grateful for your grace, so grateful for your mercies that are new each day. And it goes on to talk about, so grateful to your son, so grateful for the cross, so grateful that he rose again, so grateful that I am saved. And I just wanted to open up with an attitude of gratitude. And sometimes when we experience difficulties and tonight we're going to be dealing with panic, disorder, anxiety, worry, and fears. But I want you to get in a mindset to be grateful. Even if you panicked before you came to this line tonight, be grateful. Let's be grateful to God for his love, for his grace, for his mercy, because when Jesus died on the cross for us, he died for the panic attacks, the anxiety, and the worry. So 2 Timothy, the first chapter and the 7th verse, it says, for the Spirit of God, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love in a sound mind. So that panic and that anxiety and that worry is all rooted in the spirit of fear. And tonight we just want to offer up praise and we want to offer up thanksgiving, because tonight we're going to say bye-bye so long to the spirit of fear, to the spirit of panic, to the spirit of anxiety, worry, and fear. And we're going to learn how to stand on God's word and work through some of these challenges. Now, tonight I have co-host Erica Burnett, and our lead host tonight is none other than Apostle Sheila A. Olive, and she is going to lead us into tonight's discussion. So at this time, I would like to introduce to some and present to other Apostle Olive. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
Are you okay, Apostle? Okay, so while we're waiting.
Good evening. Good evening. I'm sorry. I was having trouble with my hold button, my mute button. But I thank you for Stacey inviting me to lead this very provocative and very important subject on tonight. We've been talking over the past month or so about mental health issues and mental health challenges that are not often talked about in a public venue. And we wanted to bring those things to the forefront in order to bring information and education. And so tonight we're going to be talking about anxiety disorders. And we had talked a couple of weeks ago about post-traumatic stress disorder. And post-traumatic stress disorder is actually an anxiety disorder that stems from fear. Like Stacy had said a few minutes ago, all of these anxiety disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, they all have their roots in fear. So we came tonight to dig those roots up, to expose those roots, to cause them to give you the tools, some of the tools necessary for you to cause them to be eradicated from your lives on tonight. Amen. And I am by trade, by vocational. I have a full-time job, but I am also full-time in the gospel. And so I want to, you might hear me say amen. You might hear me say things like, thank you, Jesus, or praise God. Please don't be offended by that. That is a part of who I am. And so on tonight, I want to begin tonight as a form of protocol with prayer. So, Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for tonight's show. We thank you for the co-host. We thank you for the audience, the listening audience. Help us all to come to this virtual table that you've given us with clear minds, with clear hearts, and also with clear ears to be able to listen and hear and grab what we need from this table to take away and use as tools in our lives to become educated, to become well-informed, and to become deliberate and intentional about our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So
amen.
I want to give you some information tonight regarding anxiety disorder. Anxiety disorder is a mental health disorder characterized by extreme feelings of worry, anxiety, or fear that are strong enough to interfere with a person's daily activities. Some examples of anxiety disorders include panic attacks, obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, feelings of extreme tension or extreme nervousness, unable to relax or focus, having a sense of dread, or fearing for the worst, feeling like the world is speeding up and slowing down, feeling like other people can see your anxiety, and feelings of shame and embarrassment and guilt also go along with that. Some of the triggers for anxiety or disorder may be difficulties that you've experienced in your childhood continue to come up and be existing traumas in your life as an adult. It's not uncommon for old stresses and old traumas to resurface, and sometimes they can even be triggered by your senses, a slight smell of something, or a sound, a sudden sound, or a sudden flash of light can cause anxiety. Triggers are not uncommon, but there sometimes when you have anxiety disorders, you become so, you're in such a sense of fear that you even fear the triggers. You feel like everything around you is going to trigger you. So sometimes that can lead to people not even wanting to come outside or not even wanting to experience interpersonal relationships. Generalized anxiety disorder involves persistent and excessive worry that interferes with daily movement, or people wanting to have people working and having jobs. Some people's anxieties are at such a heightened level that they're unable to focus or unable to perform in a work environment. And some people choose to work outside of office environments. I know since the pandemic or during the pandemic, a lot of people were given the opportunity to work remotely due to the fact that COVID-19 was so contagious. Well, that alone created a sense of anxiety, the fact that we were dealing with a deadly disorder that we had no information about. That seemed to come out of nowhere. And then we were told that we had to stay inside in our closed-in environment and unable to interact with other people. So that created a sense of anxiety. There are no tests, no specific tests that a doctor can run to specifically diagnose anxiety disorders. If your doctor doesn't find any physical reason for how you're feeling, they may send you to either a psychiatrist or a psychologist or another mental health specialist. It's very important if you're having extreme anxiety disorder for you to seek help. It's not a time to isolate yourself, which sometimes the disorder will prompt you to isolate yourself because you feel like people can look at you and see that you're experiencing anxiety. And so sometimes it breeds a sense of embarrassment. But it's very important that you are open and given to seeing a mental health specialist to be able to help diagnose the specific form of anxiety disorder that you're experiencing. So when you receive the right diagnosis, sometimes it calls for medication, something that can help you to calm yourself and to be able to focus and to be able to function in everyday environment. Now, as a way of an example, I'll share with you, after having my second daughter, I went through a horrible postpartum depression, and the postpartum depression was brought on by a hormonal imbalance from her birth. During that postpartum depression, I had severe panic attacks. I would feel as if I couldn't breathe. I would feel as if I was dying. I had an overwhelming sense of dread. I did not want to go outside. Now, this is, I'm young at that time. I'm in my late 20s. And I have a baby and I have a toddler. And I have to take care of my children, but still had to manage my anxiety disorder. For a time, I did not seek mental health specialists, but it got so severe where it became debilitating. And so I had to relinquish and go to a mental health specialist, and they diagnosed me with a hormonal imbalance, and the only way they diagnosed my stress disorder was finding out I had a hormonal imbalance. So there was a physical ailment, physical change in my body during the birth of my daughter that caused my hormones to be imbalanced, which caused me to have anxiety attacks, which is a form of anxiety disorder. Now, your anxiety disorder may manifest itself in this other ways. Your anxiety disorder may manifest, like I said, in extreme fear, or it may you may not want to be in lit areas, or you may not want to drive, or you may not want to go outside. After seeing the mental health specialist, I was prescribed some medication to help calm me because my heart would race. My blood pressure would actually dive. My blood pressure would become very low. And so they gave me medication to help calm me, but also medication to help balance my hormones, to kick my body back into a normal regimen so that I could overcome the anxiety disorder. Fortunately, I also met a wonderful group of ladies at that time who prayed for me and helped me to overcome the anxiety disorder. It did not leave right away. It took time. It took therapy, and it did take, in matter of fact, prayer. But I did overcome it, and I've been free from that for years. So I thank God for that. But you may be experiencing some type of anxiety disorder, and our open discussion on tonight is to help you as our listening audience and also our co-host who may or may not have experienced anxiety disorder to overcome this sometimes debilitating disorder. So I'd like now for our co-hosts, Stacy and Erica, Erica Barnett, who is a life coach, and Stacy, who is a minister of the gospel, I'd like you to share some, if you've had some direct contact with someone who has had anxiety disorder, or if you've experienced some form of anxiety, I'd like you to be able to share with our listening audience what your experience was in order to help them to get the tools necessary and let them know that you're not the only one. I felt like when I was experiencing this that I was the only one that was going through this disorder. So if you could, ladies, could share for me some of your experiences, that would be awesome, and I think it would help our listening audience. So, Erica?
Yes, ma'am. Want me to go first?
Yes. Have you had any personal experiences with anxiety disorder?
I have. When I was listening to you talk, I just recalled something years ago, and it was when I was going to take my test for my driver's license. How about that? I've always had an issue with taking tests. I never liked taking tests. Every time I had to take a test in school, I would just freeze, and I could study the night before. I could study weeks before. I could read or whatever had you. But when I sat in front of the test, I would just freeze, and I would do badly. For some reason, I just had a problem with taking the test. So I go in to take my driver's test to get my license, and we'll get the permit or whatever to take the actual book, the exam. I go in there and I'm waiting in line to, and I'm like almost up next. Do you not know? I literally got lightheaded and just about passed out. If my brother was not there, I probably would have been stretched out on the floor. I could not believe I got so lightheaded to the point where I could not even stand. That's how fearful and anxious I was to take this test. And I had studied the book. I practiced. I did all of that and had nothing to worry about. But the minute that test was in front of me, it was like what is going on? So I actually had to take a minute or two before I could even start to take the test. It's horrible. It's a horrible, horrible feeling. And I don't wish that on nobody, because you literally think that you are sick. It just put me in a daze. I couldn't breathe correctly. It was horrible. And I was like, what is going on? I said, what was that all about? And then like 5 minutes later, I kind of snapped out of it. And I was like, that is no joke. And my thing is, that's a dangerous thing when you go into an attack and your body just starts to feel different and it starts to affect you differently and you have no idea what it is and what it's called, because at that time I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what that was and what happened. I just know I didn't like taking tests. I didn't know it was, you know, an anxiety attack. I had no clue. Well, and I'm like, go ahead.
Sometimes it can be as a result of your body producing too much adrenaline as well.
So,
if you have a fear of taking tests, and I've experienced that as well, your body begins to produce adrenaline to compensate for your fear, and that brings on the lightheadedness, and you feel like you're going to black out, you feel like you're going to pass out. Now, can you imagine having those feelings being behind the wheel of your car?
Oh, no, I could not.
I've experienced that while I was driving, and I did, in fact, have an accident. The car left the road, and it hit a tree, but I wasn't going fast enough because I was on a military base, and they have strict rules regarding, you know, your speed limit. So I was only going, 10, 15 miles an hour. So the car basically just kissed the tree. But, you know, people saw the car leave the road, and, you know, here I am in the car with these two little kids. And so they called for an ambulance and so on and so on. But, you know, that when you have the disorder, it can happen at any time. It can happen when you're taking the test. It can happen when you're driving. Like, there are no specific, it just happens. Your body just triggers, and it goes into that state. It's like a downward spiral. Like you said, your hands become clammy. You begin to become lightheaded and dizzy. You feel like things are like it's fading to black, like on a TV screen. So it can promote you to become even more fearful. And so that's what we need to talk openly about, because, like I said, there's shame and embarrassment and guilt, you know, associated with this. You know, why am I feeling like this? You know, and you start criticizing yourself.
Yeah, because you're and it's dangerous, too.
Yeah, I shouldn't be feeling this way. What's the matter with me? Am I crazy? So, you know, I went through all of those scenarios. So, Stacey, can you share with us from either your personal experience or your experiences with other people regarding this disorder?
Well, one of the things I want to go over first is anxiety and how it makes us feel. And then I'm going to go into what I want to elaborate on with this discussion. And the reason I'm saying the way it makes you feel, because some of these symptoms I experience myself. So I'll share from my perspective and then you know, also from helping other people. So one of the anxiety, when you have anxiety, sometimes you may feel nervous. You can have a rapid heartbeat and your mind will have racing thoughts. And sometimes people get really irritated or agitated or frustrated, but they don't recognize it as anxiety or a panic attack. And mixed in with that, we get the spirit of chaos and the spirit of confusion. And if the enemy could get you so discombobulated in your feelings and in your thoughts, you don't know what you're going to, you don't know what's going to happen. You feel uncomfortable. You feel uneasy. And being uneasy is also another feeling of anxiety, shortness of breath, being on edge, nausea, being nauseated, having diarrhea, or feelings of doom. And some of this is caused by genetics. Some of it is environmental factors, and some are caused by life experiences. So this topic is really good, and it's kind of interwoven with all of the topics we've been discussing at the table as we have been addressing mental health, mental wellness, mental awareness. And before I share, I want to say to anyone that is listening, if you are struggling with panic attacks, anxiety, worry, or fear, please don't feel ashamed or embarrassed or humiliated. There's nothing wrong with you, like Apostle Sheila said. And the number one, the devil wants us to think that it's us, that there's something wrong with us. And he'll make intrusions, like, if you can hear me knocking, that's the devil knocking at the door. And he's coming with something that is not true, and it's going to disrupt your peace in an attempt to steal your joy, and you're going to get all upset, and especially if it's a lie. So I'm driving on Kelly Drive, and for those of you that's not familiar with Kelly Drive is in West Philadelphia. Well, it's a part of West Philly. It goes through the whole park. And you could go downtown, East Fall. It'll take you all throughout the city. But it is on the left and the right side of the Schuylkill River. So I'm driving to work one morning, and the devil said, your car is going to go into this left lane, and you are going to go crash into this river. And so right away, I grabbed hold of the steering wheel because I got scared. It was raining, and it was like I didn't want to have any accidents. Now, the question is, why did he send that intrusion to my mind? So, years ago, I used to drive for a hospital ambulance, and I had a very bad accident on Kelly's Drive, which is the opposite side, which is now Martin Luther King Drive. But anyway, we was right by the boat houses, and it was raining, and we spun around the entire highway two times. We hit the median. Then the van, it was an 18-passenger van. So the van spun around, and we hit the median on the right side, like the rail. Now, if the impact of that vehicle would have been any harder than what it was, we literally would have flipped over off the expressway down to the drive, which was just inches away from the river. So truly, it was the grace of God that saved us that day. So I get on the phone. I'm panicked. I'm scared. I'm like, I don't know what to do. So, when you're talking on the CB radio, you have codes. So I put the code in and let them know we were down, we need help, send the ambulance. And so the ambulance came right away. My brother came, and I'm busy trying to get to my brother, but not really conscious of the fact that we're right on the highway. So the police officer pushed me back, and my brother was, like, being protective of me, and the officer was like, hey, she don't need to be walking on this highway. So everyone just needed to calm down at that moment because the adrenaline is high. And I'm a little bit disoriented because I hit my head, like, I'm like, what just happened? So to go through that whole process, and I mean, I was injured. The driver was injured. She actually fell on top of me. And when she fell on top of me, I felt suffocated, like I couldn't breathe. So I was experiencing anxiety right away. I had no time to rethink it. All I knew is, like, I'm pushing, like, and I didn't want to hurt her, but I wanted her to get off of me because it was a very uncomfortable feeling. I'm already up against the wall of this van. I'm right on the edge. And you know, when you're looking down and you that close to the edge, you just want to get away. So I began to panic, and fear trickled in. So connect that with what I said about the threat from the enemy. And I'm using different words so that you can be aware of the tactics of the enemy. Apostle Sheila said earlier, we're going to expose how this spirit operates. So when the enemy threatened me when I was driving in the rain and said I was going to crash and fall into the river, that was a form of manipulation and intimidation. And the goal was to instill fear in me, to make me take my eyes off the road, off of God, and just think about what he was saying. And the thought triggered, you know, I had a flashback about the accident, and I had to remind myself, God has not given you a spirit of fear. God has given you a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. So keep your mind stayed on God. So this is where I have learned how to apply the word of God to my life. And does it happen all of the time in the moment of a crisis? No, because sometimes that fear is like, boom, the impact of it, it will hit you hard and it will catch you off guard. But if you are cognizant of what is happening, you stand on the word of God, because the devil going to knock, the enemy is going to knock, and they may even talk and present their case. But listen, we can reject it. We don't even have to open the door. So that day, driving to work, I grabbed hold of that steering wheel. But once I started praying and making my declarations, but more importantly, I had to remind myself that I'm not in that same position I was years ago when I had that accident. And I had to remind myself that God has delivered me from the spirit of anxiety. So don't panic. Don't give in to your feelings or your emotions. Breathe. Stacy, breathe. And that's something, amen, Apostle Sheila, that I tell myself quite frequently. I say, Stacy, breathe. And sometimes, yes, you know, for those of you that are listening, if you are struggling with anxiety, and even in the moment of frustration and irritation, just stop and say, self, breathe. Apostle Sheila, breathe. Erica, breathe. Mm-hmm. And in that moment where you're taking the time to breathe, peace is going to come over you. But you have time to silence your spirit, to silence your thoughts and your emotions, so that once you really get that calmness, now you can react from a good place and not a bad place, because that bad place will cause you to respond out of fear, out of anxiety, or it could make you panic. So that's what I wanted to share. And I tell you, it took me a long time. After that initial accident happened, I refused to drive in the rain. I would not drive. When it was raining, I would not get on the highway. And it took a long time. And my dad told me, he said, Stacy, if you don't get back on the highway when it's raining, he said, you're never going to drive on the highway again when it's raining. And you may never get on the highway again. He said, so I really want you to feel this fear and do it anyhow. And I took him at his word. And I started driving in the rain, and I used to drive so slow. But I finally overcame it, and now, you know, I'm pretty good.
Yeah, it's very important that you confront the fear that's causing the extreme anxiety. It's very important. Sometimes you need someone to guide you through that process, so that's why we are pointing people to mental health specialists in the form of psychologists, psychiatrists, therapists, counselors. But it's very important in order to move forward in your life and in your experiences to confront that trigger, that trauma, that experience that caused you to have the extreme anxiety. I know, as Stacy was sharing about Kelly Drive, I am not, I'm a great driver, but driving on Kelly Drive will challenge even the best of drivers. Yes. And so as she shared her experience, I could see it, because we here in the Philadelphia area, we hear a lot about accidents that happen on that stretch of highway, Kelly Drive and Lincoln Drive, during rain, because people have a tendency not to slow up. They want to drive as fast during the rain as they do during a dry season. But that's a great, those are two, your both of your experiences were two great examples of anxiety disorders that manifested themselves in your lives. And there's a scripture I wanted to share, Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. And it says, "Don't be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures your heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus is yours." So the peace of God belongs to you, but you have to accept it. I know Stacy mentioned that one way she overcame her anxiety was through prayer, yes, but she used breathing exercises, and that's really good, because sometimes your heart is racing, your adrenaline is pumping, and your breathing is erratic, and it does begin to cause you to become disorientated. So my recommendation to people is to try to calm yourself down. Try to center your breathing. Find a focal point in the room where you are, or where outside where you are, in the office where you are. Find a focal point. Find something to focus on, and to count backwards from 10 to 9, to 1 to 0. And then that will help to slow your heart rate and slow your breathing. Also, if you're inside, if you're in a closed-in area, get outside. Get outside and walk a little bit. That helps to regulate your breathing, regulate your heartbeat, change your focus, change your venue and your surroundings, and helps you to refocus and recalibrate from a panic disorder, a panic attack. Also, you can wash your face, wash your hands with cold water. These are some things you can do to help to bring yourself, to help yourself to recalibrate. But the important thing is prayer. The important thing is focusing on God and focusing on Him, because He is our peace. And the main thing is the peace is yours. It belongs to you. But you have to accept it. You have to accept that peace, and then that peace
will help you to navigate through what the enemy is trying to get you to focus on at that very moment. Because it could be something that you have no control over whatsoever. And that's his job. The devil is on his job 24/7. So we need to be on our job. We need to focus on the Word of God, focus on prayer, and then do the things we can naturally to help our bodies to recalibrate. Ladies, Erica, if you could talk about some of the tools that you use when you feel distress or anxiety or a hypersensitive sense of worry, or are and find yourself in a situation where you're extremely frightened. What are some of the tools you use?
Normally I'll sit. Sometimes I'll just sit in quiet with no noise, so I have no distractions, and I can sit there, and God can talk me through this. Whatever is going on, so he can talk me through. And I say, all right. I say, all right, Father. All right, God, now you got to help me out here. What's going on? Tell me what's going on. Tell me how I handle it. That's one of the main ways. I just sit in quiet, me and God, and I just listen to hear what he has to tell me. Another way is sometimes soft music for me does it. I'll sit and I'll listen to some music, some positive music, let me say that. And I'll listen to self-help videos, things that will walk me through the process of stress and, you know, changing my mindset and how to get through it. So I listen to a lot of ministers on YouTube, pastors, ministers, bishops. I listen to those sort of things that'll walk me through it. And basically that's it. Those are the three. I don't like seek anyone to talk anyone. I always go to God first. And normally when I go to God first, I get what I need. I get my peace back. I get my answer on how to, you know, to deal with it. That's a lie. I have a counselor. I do have a counselor that I go to, and sometimes God will say, you need to talk it out. So you need to go, you need to call your counselor and go over it, go over the process, whatever I go through the process, talk to your counselor, because they can give you a different aspect of what you're dealing with, and then give you some tools on how to. And I think that's important, because a lot of times we try to work things out on our own by ourselves, and a lot of times we just can't. We can't work everything out on our own. Even when we go to God, sometimes he will send us to someone else, because we're human and he understands that we may need a voice, someone face-to-face, someone who looks like us to kind of walk us through the steps and give us their story and their take on how they dealt with certain things. But basically that's how nothing like, you know, big or whatever. I just take small steps. I talk to God. I listen to positive things, and I talk to a counselor.
That's really important, Erica, the fact that you as a life coach, which is basically a counsel, you counsel people through coaching techniques. You have your own counselor, and I do as well. I have a counselor as well. Stacy, do you find having a counselor to be a helpful component to overcoming disorders?
Most definitely. And the best counselor is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He is the ultimate counselor. But yes.
Amen.
Going to a counselor helped me tremendously I have so many examples, and for those of you that are listening, if you do have a question or a comment, if you want to join the discussion, please press 1. Please don't be embarrassed or ashamed. There is no wrong or right. There is no wrong way to ask a question or to share, and we all experience what we experience. And the purpose of this discussion is to bring awareness to a topic that's not real popular. You know, people not excited to say, ooh, I want to talk about this panic disorder. But things that are covered up can't heal. So we want to invite you to present your questions and, you know, let's talk about it so that we can pray about it. But to answer your question, back in 2017, I was physically assaulted by my son, and the level of humiliation, embarrassment, shame, hurt, I was devastated, and fear took over me. Two men actually watched while he did this to me, and this is my share, my private pain for public profit. So I was afraid to face what actually happened to me, so I was actually in denial for a little bit. And so I had two disasters after that. Like a month later, my best friend died, and then I had another traumatic experience the month after that. And all of this stuff came back to back, and I was trying to get a counselor, but I got rejected even in that counseling process, the selection of a counselor, because no one accepted my health insurance that I had at the time. So I even reached out to Christian counselors, and they didn't accept the insurance either. So I'm like, oh, my goodness, like, who is going to help me here? But God allowed me to contact my current counselor, and he is a phenomenal I do pastoral counseling. And I've been in pastoral counseling since 2017. And after I accomplished my goals in regards to the situation with my son, and I'm going to connect that, I continued to go to counseling because it really turned into prophetic counseling and helping me become a better me. But sometimes we just need to talk and let go of all of the things that we hold inside, because things that are covered up can heal. And then we internalize so much. So my going to the counselor was so therapeutic for me because I was filled with fear. It was like so many lies were spoken about me, and my family abandoned me, and I just felt so rejected. And I want to say that people that are rejected also struggle with anxiety, with panic attacks, with worry, with fear, and being accepted. And all of the symptoms that we have been talking about, they experience some of those symptoms. And sometimes, again, they don't realize that it's stemming from anxiety. It's stemming from the rejection. And many people that have been rejected, is something that creates a hardness in the heart. And you tend to, it's like a fight or flight response to what happened to you. And if you're going to fight, you're going to put this wall up around you so that you protect yourself. But in protecting yourself, you become paranoid. You think everybody is out to get you. You think everybody is out to hurt you. You think everybody is just against you. And so that is also a very subtle form of panic. And coming out of reality and stepping into fantasy, and the open door for that is the spirit of deception. And then you mix that with self-deception, because remember earlier I said the devil going to knock at the door, and he going to present things to you that is contrary to the word of God. But remember, he is an enticer. He is into allurement and entrapment. So his goal is to get you into a state of panic where the anxiety will take over. You're now controlled by the spirit of fear. And what are you going to do? You're going to back up against the wall. You're going to take a little step forward and something else is going to happen. And so now you no longer feel confident that you can do this thing. And you standing there at the crossroads, swinging your arms, trying to decide, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? So with my fear of what my son did to me, and I'm a survivor of domestic violence. So for his father to severely dislocate my shoulder, that was a whole different level of anxiety, worry, panic. So when my son beat me up to the ground, oh, my gosh, that triggered everything that I went through with his dad. And so in my right mind, how do you separate this, Apostle Sheila? So to answer your question, I had to go to counseling because now when I talked about that wall that we build around our hearts, I felt so rejected, especially because two men watched while my son beat me down, and they did nothing to help me. How dare you watch another man beat another woman down? That is so wrong. So I'm feeling like, what is wrong with me that they can't help me, you know? So my heart literally started turning black. So I didn't go to counseling because I wanted to get over the panic attacks. I went to counseling because I didn't want to shut down. I didn't want to stop loving people. I didn't want to stop helping people. And I'm telling you, I became so aggressive. I am not a violent person. I don't like to fight. I only had two fights in my whole life. But after this thing happened to me, and I didn't even realize it was a part of the panic and a part of the anxiety, Life Coach Erica. But if you said something to me wrong, if you looked at me wrong, excuse me, you got a problem? Like, I was getting to that point. And I was like, oh, no, you have to tone it down. And because that's you know, it influenced me to embrace a false identity that transformed my attitude, my disposition, and my countenance. And I'm taking my time to break all of this down like we do every Friday, because somebody needs to understand the process that you're going through and the emotions that you felt during your moment of trauma. Whatever it is that happened to you in your past, it does not have to dictate your future, your present, here today. But if you don't deal with it, then all of it is going to pile up, it's going to pile up, it's going to pile up, and eventually you're going to go off on somebody. And you're not going to attack the person that attacked you or hurt you, but you're going to get that person that's closest to you, and you're going to cause some severe damage. And then you're going to have to go through all of that process of, you know, how did I get here? You have to apologize. You have to say you're sorry. They may not receive your apology. You have to be prepared to deal with that. Like, it's so many levels involved. And I just want to say, Apostle Sheila, that the spirit of fear, anxiety, panic, it all works together. So each of these spirits is a root that is connected to, let's say the tree is the spirit of fear. So that first root is the spirit of anxiety. That second root is the spirit of worry. That third one is the spirit of panic. And then we got mental anguish. Then we got sorrow. Then we got grieving. Like, there's so many levels to this. But all of these roots get intertwined. And then soul ties is mixed in with that. So you literally have to untie yourself from all of these roots and from the people that may be associated with some of that. So I could not do that on my, now, mind you, Holy Ghost is my counselor. I'm going to God first. But, yes, I went to the counselor because the counselor was able to help me get untied, to start uprooting all of these lies of the enemy that was trying to steal my identity. and through the counseling, when I recognized that the attack that was coming against me was associated with mind-binding spirits. And the mind-binding spirits, their goal was to overtake my mind and to get me to rehearse what my son did to me over and over and over. And by doing so, and I feel the power of the Holy Ghost right now, somebody, you've been hurt, you've been wounded, and you rehearse it over and over and over. It's like a broken record. And don't feel bad. We've all done it at one point or another. But when we do that, we intensify the fear. We give our power to the panic attack, to the anxiety. So don't rehearse it. Don't speak it out of your mouth again. Like, I could speak about my son and what he did to me because I took that negative experience and I turned it into a positive experience, and God used it to catapult me to a whole nother level of doing what I do with Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. I'm not ashamed to talk about the waters of affliction or the furnace of affliction or the sorrows, the things that I have gone through that at the time it was quite embarrassing. But I know now that I went through it for a reason. And that reason is to say, hey, yes, I went through this. This happened to me. Yeah, I was upset. Yeah, I was mad. Yeah, I wanted to beat somebody down. But you know what? I chose to trust God. And because I trusted God, God brought me out. And we handled it his way versus me leaning to my own understanding and displaying behavior that's true, not true to my nature. So as angry as I was and as hurt as I was, Apostle, to bring this in, had I not gone to counseling, I would be a hot mess. I would be an angry, bitter woman that would not be doing anything that I'm doing now, because I shut down my ministry. I shut down the radio. I shut down praying for people. Don't even look at me and come to me for a prayer request, because I wasn't praying for nobody. That's how bad that thing had affected me. So going to counseling saved my life. It really did.
Yes, yes. And oftentimes, you're absolutely right. The purpose of the counselor is to help to unwind. The word wicker means twisted. And we all know when we see a piece of wicker furniture, it's branches of a willow tree or that have been shaved down, and they intertwine the willow in order to make that piece, specific piece of furniture. So what the doctors, the counselors, the psychologists, the psychiatrists are doing is untwisting the fear and anxiety, the depression, the worry that have twisted themselves together, have combined forces, because we all know that that's what demonic influences do. They combine forces to push against you, to become opposition to you and to the will of God in your life. And so we appreciate counselors and we appreciate counseling because it helps us to get to a healing place. It helps us to get to a place of safety. I wanted to share another scripture, Jeremiah 31:13. It says, but when we follow the instruction of God, we have the promise, we have this promise from the Lord, I will turn your mourning into joy. So God's, people sometimes say out of ignorance, why is God bringing this on me? No, God is not bringing this on you. God is not causing you to have this extreme anxiety, distress, and fear. That doesn't come from God. It emanates from the enemy of our purpose, the enemy of our soul, the enemy of prayer, the enemy of God, the enemy of the Word of God.
the devil. And so as we submit ourselves to God, as we surrender ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit in our inward man, and we also engage with counselors, we are slowly but surely, it takes time, everything takes time, we are slowly but surely able to untwist the opposition that's coming against us, and we're able to walk out into freedom, and we're able to have joy in our lives once again. We could, Erica, Stacy, and myself could not be doing what we are doing tonight if we had not surrendered to the work of the Holy Spirit in our inward man to help us overcome our fears, even fears of being in front of people, even fears, anxieties of speaking before people and sharing, anxiety from sharing our personal testimonies. We're bearing ourselves before people. We're sharing our very personal experiences, and we can do that because we want to be transparent. We want to allow ourselves to be transparent enough for the people to see Jesus through us and to see the work of Jesus in our lives to bring us to a place of healing. Amen.
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 You know, Apostle Sheila, I really, really love what you're saying, and I've been taking notes like Erica does. And we do have a caller. And caller, thank you. We're going to get to you in 1 second. But when you said push against you, and then you said twist it and get untwisted, I was like, oh, my God, she in the vein tonight. That is so powerful. But as you was talking about the fear, like there are so many different things that are standing out right now. And I'm going to follow up with that like later, but I'm writing a note so that we could come back to it. And I'm quite sure it will even enhance the conversation even more. And right now, caller with the last four numbers, 1906, you're on the air. How are you?
Hi. Hi, once again, this is Jacqueline. I'm enjoying the discussion tonight. I mean, this is something that I think that should be broadcast throughout the Black community. We've suffered so much trauma. We've gone through so much trauma, and it's unaddressed trauma. And that's why we see the things that are happening in our cities and in our homes and all the dysfunction. You know, a lot of times, you know, Black communities, we don't feel like we need counseling. We feel like, oh, I can man up, I can do, you know, and that's why you have young men out there shooting each other. That's why you have women with baby mama drama all the time, and it's always drama in their lives. And that's the trauma that's really not being addressed. You know, I think about even my own childhood. And my father was abusive to my mother, but I was like maybe 10 years old when I said to my mom, I said, Mom, why don't you leave? I don't know. The Spirit of God must have been in me then, because I was just like, Mama, let's go. Let's leave. So my mom is looking at me, and eventually she did leave, and she moved out of the house. But I still see the trauma in my mother. Even now, you know, sometimes when things happen, I can see that she has anxiety disorders. She has trauma that she has not addressed. And sometimes it leaks out when she gets angry. You know, when she gets very angry, it'll leak out. And I said, Mama, what's going on? You know, but she's like, oh, you don't know what happened to me? I said, well, just tell me what happened. You know, every now and then she'll give me a little bit here, a little bit there. But I think, I'm sorry for taking so long, but we just have to learn to address those issues and get to the root of the problems. Because, I mean, you think about medication that the doctor gives, prescribes for anxiety. And most of the people who are taking medication for anxiety, guess what? They're Christian. They're people who say they're believers. They say that they, but they're the main ones who's taking the Valium. They're the main ones that's taking these pills to help them sleep and sleeping disorders and things like that. But I feel like that if we can address the trauma in the lives of the people, then we'll be able to heal. So I'm thankful for this call tonight. Thank you so much. God bless everybody.
God bless you as well.
Yes, and Jackie, don't go. Yes,
go ahead, Stacey. I'm sorry.
Now, I was saying we all was talking at the same time, but Jackie, don't go anywhere and don't ever apologize. Everyone that's listening, whenever we open up your mic for you to talk, please don't feel pressured. Please don't feel rushed. If we go into overtime, we go into overtime. But Jackie, what you said was delicious. And you're welcome. What you said was delicious. And I have to prepare you because Erica, she just laughed, and I knew she was going to laugh because they like when I say it was delicious. And it was delicious.
Like she talk about, it was delicious. She talk about food. And when she say delicious, I'm ready to go get me some ice cream and some cookies or something. I'm like, okay.
Look, it's delicious and it is nutritious. And we want to invite you to stay. I'm going to leave your mic open if that's okay, so you could just flow with us.
Sure, sure. Not a problem. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And Apostle Sheila, we're going to turn it back over to you. But Erica, I know you wanted to say something too.
You know, I'll wait for Apostle Sheila to finish.
Okay. And then we have a commercial at 8:15.
Go ahead, Erica.
Oh, it was just a small comment I wanted to say, Ms. Jacqueline, that you're right on point about the community that we need to, a lot of us, we struggle with our communities, black communities struggle with trauma. We, like you said, we've been through so much. And, you know, when COVID-19 hit, that's just a huge example because of how the world just changed and just our immediate area and our immediate communities, how you watched people go from, you know, people who you thought were, you know, cool and everything and just started lashing out and things, they just started acting differently and all. It's a horrible thing. And it's so much trauma going on. So that's just more trauma compiled on something that's already there. And we don't, for some reason in our communities, we do not want to address it at all. Either we don't want to address it, we're fearful of addressing it because we think of what someone else might think if we go to a psychologist or a psychologist or a therapist, you know, because, you know, there's a stigma that if you go that, you know, something's wrong with you, you're crazy, and, you know, you just need to go and sit with God. Okay, you know, I understand God is there and God wants you to come to him first. Like, but sometimes he will send you to someone who is equipped here on earth, another human being. And that's why we have the therapists, the counselors, the psychologists, the psychiatrists. That's why we got all of these people, because they're gifted to walk us through the process. And like Apostle Sheila said, you know, we just say untwist it, you know, to get us untwisted. That's the point. That's why we all are gifted in various areas, is so we can help one another. Because we need one another, and that's the main thing. We all need one another to get along on this earth, to thrive, and to build each other up. That's why we're here, you know. So that you brought it home when you mentioned the community, and that's why people are acting the way, and that's why you see so much, you know, pain and hurt, and you see all the killing and all that stuff that's going on. That's due to trauma. It's not that folks are all bad people. Everybody on this earth is not bad. You know what I mean? They're just releasing the trauma that they've been through. They're releasing it in the only way that they know how. You know, they don't know how. They haven't been given the tools to you know, work this thing out and to put that energy towards something else and get themselves some help. And some of them can't even afford help. That's another issue. You know, so you hit home, and I appreciate you know, giving your comment on what we're talking about. That was really great.
I know that Jackie mentioned that these this conversation needs to be prevalent, more prevalent in the African American community, because, and there is a lot of stigma in our community against seeking help. Period. I don't care if it's with a mental health professional, and sometimes it's even with medical doctors. We have an issue with going for help. And I know that sometimes there may be issues with getting help because of insurance constraints, but there are always workarounds. Call your insurance company. If your insurance company says gives you a hard time with finding a mental health professional, call your insurance company and explain to the representative or ask for a manager and ask them for another option. And also call the doctor, because the doctors have people in their office who work with insurance companies on a daily basis and can offer you other options. I know Stacy wants to give time for a commercial and some information she'd like to share. So, Stacy, if you'd like to go ahead with that. Stacy, are you on?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was muted. I'm sorry. I'm here. Thank you so much, Apostle Sheila. And this commercial break is being brought to you this evening by Loyal Scents Candle. And the owner of Loyal Scents Candle is Natasha. And the experience you get with her candle business is that you will allow her to know the fragrance that you desire, and she will design it, and you will be surprised. The uniqueness is that no two candles are the same unless requested. Each freestyle candle is created in a 17-ounce glass. It includes two wicks, and you get 72 hours out of each candle. Her candles aren't just for daily household use. They can be custom designed to meet your needs, and she accepts orders for birthdays, Valentine's, wedding, anniversary, baptisms, encouragement, friendship, graduation, baby announcements, retirement, sympathy, teachers' appreciation, and the list goes on and on. And I met this young lady in at ShopRite. And she had her whole display set up. And when I tell you God has really blessed her hands, the uniqueness of her candles, the scent, the aroma, the cookie smell, like the pumpkin smell, they smell so good. But the creativeness, her artwork, this stuff is phenomenal. So she is going to be my featured guest. The date to be announced, but I wanted to do the commercial tonight for her to help bring awareness to her business and what she's doing. And for those of you that are on Instagram, you can reach her on Instagram. Her name is Loyal Sense by My Everything. And that is our commercial break tonight. And we want to say that we support all businesses, but we really, really want to highlight our Black-owned businesses, and we want to support and pray for our sister Natasha, and stay tuned because she will be gracing the mic to tell us about how she got started in this business, and we just want to support her and show her some love. So thank you very much. And back at you, Apostle Sheila.
That's awesome, Stacy. Thanks for that commercial. Thank you for sharing about her and her wonderful business. As a matter of fact, aromatherapy and candles are a great aid in calming yourself when you have anxiety. I know during the initial stages of COVID, when we were just suddenly asked to leave our job and to begin working at home, and like I said earlier in our broadcast, nobody really knew anything about COVID. There were so many unanswered questions and so many discrepancies in information that we were receiving. It created a high sense of anxiety. And I know I taught a Bible study for 2 years during COVID from home on every Tuesday at 12. And so I encouraged the Bible study participants as they were coming on to create an environment of peace as we come into our time of study, because it'll help you to
Apostle Sheila,
yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but somebody, we got some background noise because it's getting harder to hear you. Oh, okay.
Oh,
that might have been you, Apostle Sheila, because it's not.
No. There's nothing going on around
me. Oh, no. It's going again. It's a bunch of static.
I don't have any noise around me.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you, but I still hear the static. Let me see something.
Sounds like a fan. It sounds like a fan.
No. It does, but I don't have a fan going on around me. I don't know what it is.
Oh, okay. Well, it might have been somebody else. That's fine.
Okay.
It stopped.
But I was.
But,
I was,
oh, the person left. They didn't have to leave. Okay.
I was encouraging our Bible study participants to create a peaceful environment around them as they came into the Bible study, because that will help them to refocus and help them to hear and retain what was being taught. And one of the tools I encouraged them to use were scented candles. And so thank you for that awesome commercial. And I'd like to pose a question to our caller, Jackie. And I know Jacqueline recently moved from the Northeast to the Bible Belt. And I wanted to ask Jacqueline if you found it, if you found people are more accepting of seeking help in that area of the country when they have issues or challenges, mental health challenges?
Well, actually, no. I don't think that people are reaching out for help as much as they should. I'm in the state of Arkansas, which is I'm about 2 hours away from Little Rock, and about an hour and a half from Memphis. This area that I live in is rural, so it's a rural town, and it's just so much. It's cyclical, historic. Racism, it's a lot of discrimination. It's a place where there's a lot of poverty. And the people, I find that the culture is difficult, because I find that a lot of people have a spirit of anger and bitterness and rage in this particular part area of Arkansas. I think that it's not like Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a melting pot. Philadelphia has so many services and grassroots programs,
that offers counseling on every corner almost in Philadelphia. But it's not like that here. It's a little city, a twin city, where even the mayor, I feel like he needs counseling. You know, it's a city that's, I think, has the potential to be a good city, but I think with the people need healing in the city. So I think the more programs that we bring in, I think the more counseling that we can offer, I think the city will begin to heal. But the healing process, it takes a long time. You know, slavery down here, cotton, you know, cotton belt, just historic kinds of history here where Jim Crow was here. Some of the signs of Jim Crow, you know. So the healing process, like I said, it's a long process.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So what I hear, Jackie, you're saying is a lot of the systemic racism and discrimination that's in that area, it being a rural area, is generational. And
absolutely.
And is ancestral in that area. And that in itself, the racism and the discrimination, that in itself breeds a high sense of anxiety for the people who are discriminated against. And so,
yes.
So much prayer is needed, much prayer is required, because if it's not dealt with, it only breeds again. And like Stacy oftentimes says, a covered wound cannot heal. And so
yes.
I'm glad that we have the opportunity and the platform and the freedom to be able to share on over the airwaves and be able to give information and, like I said, education and the tools for people to be able to move from a place of wounded to a place of being healed and restored.
But Apostle Shirley, can I add one more thing, yes. please?
Sure,
also,
absolutely.
It's not because there's a lack of opportunity, because there's plenty of opportunity. It's just culturally, you know, the people, you know, I find that when God gives us an open door, you know, when it's time for us to go through that door, a lot of times we're not prepared, a lot of us, our people. So we miss the opportunity. We miss the opportunity because we're not prepared. And we can't continue to blame the system for our ills. You know, we can't continue to blame the white man for what's going on in our community. Eventually, we're going to have to look within ourselves. We're going to have to look at ourselves and say, hey, what can I do differently?
Right.
So we can't continue to just perpetuate and say, hey, the white man did this to me. The white man did. No. What are you going to do right now about your situation? So
right.
I just wanted to
right.
add that. Yeah.
No, that's very important. That's very important, Evangelist Jackie. We have to take ownership and responsibility for our own healing. We can't expect healing to just come and land, knock on our door, right? And so if there are opportunities available, you know, I pray that our communities would take advantage of those opportunities that are available. Because like you said, especially here in the Philadelphia area, there are a lot of young people, young men, young people, on the streets of Philadelphia, causing wound and harm to each other because they have not dealt with their own traumas dealt with their own issues. And so if, especially young people, if you know a young person and you know that they're having traumas and stresses and issues with worry, anxiety, and fear, and you as an adult have the tools and accessibility and are aware of opportunities, I'm encouraging those who are in our listening audience to reach out to those young people and help them to connect with those opportunities so to move from a place of being wounded to a place of being healed. Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to jump in right here because, amen.
Go ahead, Stacy.
I was fixing my phone. Sorry. I wanted to jump in right here because I love the different flavors that are being presented. It's like if you go to the water ice stand or the ice cream store, they ask you what flavor do you want. And we have already addressed so many topics, and the different topics are representing the different flavors. Now, one thing I want to acknowledge is that I have Unity in the Community prayer line, and that is every Wednesday at 2 p.m. When I first started Unity in the Community, it was prayer walks, and so we were going into the neighborhoods, and a lot of people wasn't available to walk, so we would drive through the areas, the neighborhoods, and the very things that we're talking about, we would pray about those things, and sometimes I actually drove alone. And so we do try and address a lot of what we're talking about during our times of prayer on Wednesday. So if anyone is interested and you want to network with us, you are more than welcome. I do see this growing. The vision that God actually gave to me, despise not small beginnings. When I first started, I had over 14, 13 people with me. And slowly, when you start doing something that's meaningful and it's impacting neighborhoods, families, and communities, the enemy doesn't like that. And I really don't want to focus on the enemy, but I want to say that because when the trials start coming, people tend to back up. And Jackie, when you said that, oh my goodness, I just lost my train of thought. It'll come back to me. But it's like when accountability is needed, and we need to learn how to stand accountable for our own actions, for our own choices, and the decisions that we make, because sometimes we create our own situations. And because we don't stand accountable, we blame it on the next person. So when the topic of racism came up, what was standing out to me was, we have racism on so many different levels, racism, prejudice, biases, and then we have racism within races. But right now, we have white people, black people, Spanish people, people of color. We have more people coming together. And the goal is for building harmonious relationships. And a lot of people are coming to the table, like in small numbers and small groups, doing the same thing that we're doing, but they're doing it the way God gave it to them to do it. But the thing is, at some point, we need to start linking arms in our neighborhoods, in our communities, with the churches, with the corporations. Like, we all have a piece of the puzzle. And so something needs to change. And yes, I do believe it needs to be on a bigger level. In the beginning, when Jackie started talking, and she was talking about how this needs to be like on a bigger broadcast, I don't remember the exact words she said, but it does, because people don't know how to articulate their feelings. So it's okay to argue, it's okay to curse, it's okay to get loud, but when all of that is done and said, what have you accomplished? So how about we try a different way to handle your frustration, your irritation, your anger. And the number one reason that people experience this level of fear and ignorance when it comes to prejudice and racism is because of fear. Fear of the unknown. What's going to happen if I choose to love and not hate? You know, what would I do if I wasn't afraid? Will this panic attack leave me? If I'm walking in a white neighborhood and it's after dark, you know, what's going to happen to me? Anxiety. You know, I need to hurry up and get to the bus. I need to hurry up and get in my car and get out of this neighborhood. Or what about that white person that's in the black neighborhood? You know, it works both ways. But at some point, when is real love, true love, and harmony and peace, when are we going to come together and just be human beings? I believe Erica and Apostle Sheila mentioned human beings earlier. And at some point, we need to separate the colors. We need to separate the race. And we just need to go back to being human beings. Because right now, hurt people hurt people. And it doesn't matter what color we are. We have black on black crime. We got white on white crime. We got Asian on Asian crime, Latino on Latino crime. But you know what? They love to highlight African American, black people crime. And for whatever reasons, that's not the direction we're going in. But what was standing out to me is the panic and the anxiety and the worry of these mothers that are burying their children too soon. What is standing out to me is all of these fathers that are panicking because their children are late coming home from basketball practice, and he don't know if they going to make it in the house safe or not. Because we're talking about panic disorders. We're talking about anxiety, and we're talking about fear. So when we talk about a child coming home safe or even a young adult coming home safe or a young girl coming home safe, parents are panicking, and we don't talk about that. It's, I'm not going to tell anybody that I'm afraid. I'm not going to tell anybody that I really don't want my daughter out of my sight right now. So these are, and even, you know, as we're talking, please use these as key prayer points, because the spirit of fear is being exposed tonight, and the assignment for the spirit of panic, it has to go. Now, when we look at all of the natural disasters, when we look at all of the various states and the devastation that's taking place in our neighborhoods and our communities, when we look at these wildfires, look at what happened in Canada. And it affected all the way here in Philadelphia and New Jersey. I mean, the smog, the smoke, we smelt it. People began to panic. And so, Apostle Sheila, your topic tonight for panic disorders, and I mean, I know y'all hear the passion in my voice, but this is so appropriate because it's not just about traumatic experiences. It's not just about relationships and domestic violence, and it's not about racism, but it's about real life events and cultural events that are affecting this nation, that's affecting this country, that's affecting this world. We are in a state of emergency. And you know what? People are starting to panic. And why are we panicking? We are panicking because my people perish for lack of knowledge. We are panicking because we do not have God first in our lives. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Well, what things? How about be strong enough, good courage? How about don't be afraid? I will not leave you nor forsake you. Like, we got to learn how to stand on the word of God, because God did not give us a spirit of fear. God gave us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. So what do we say to panic? We say, panic, you got to back up off of me right now in the name of Jesus, because this is not my portion. And when anxiety comes and you can have that anxiety attack, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus over your assignment, over my life, over my mind. You cannot have me. You cannot have my children. You will not cause us to act out of our fear and out of our emotions. It's just that simple. And somebody might be listening, and you might be saying, what is going on with her? Well, what is going on with me right now is the Holy Ghost is speaking to you.
Hallelujah.
And the passion you hear is God wants you to take him at his word. He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And why is that appropriate right now? It is appropriate right now because the workers of iniquity are causing people to panic. Because we got the thugs out on the street, the gangbangers, they trying to take over the street, they robbing people. People can't even have their cars or their mopeds because they stealing them. They breaking in the cars. They causing panic. They causing anxiety. So God said, I hear Apostle Sheila's cry, and I'm going to touch her heart to do this show tonight to bring awareness to panic disorders, because I want her to sound the alarm that the spirit of panic, the spirit of fear has been exposed.
Amen.
So what she is doing tonight, what we are doing, what Life Coach Erica is doing, what Evangelist Jackie is doing, what I am doing, we are tearing down the strongholds of the enemy. Shirley Caesar wrote a song, and she says, Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. Well, every broadcast we make, we are tearing Satan's kingdom down. And the power
Amen.
Of darkness, guess what? When Apostle Sheila said, when the enemy pushed you up against the wall, guess what? We pushing that joker back all the way to hell
Amen.
Where he belongs. Because
Hallelujah.
He had no
Hallelujah.
Power, he had no authority. God said in his word that nothing shall by any means harm us, and he means nothing. I don't care what the enemy is saying to you. I don't care how he is threatening you. I don't care how he is bullying you. I don't care how he is abusing you. No weapons formed against you shall prosper. If that bear, when we watch movies and that bear is running after that couple, they roll over and they act dead. Well, okay, that's good for the bear. But when it comes down to the devil, stop rolling over and acting like you dead. Get up and fight with the weapons of your warfare that are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds. So read Jeremiah 1 and 10, because God said he gave us power to root out and to pull down. So there are some things, Apostle Sheila, that we have to do. And thanks to this program tonight, we're giving examples. And if anybody is listening and you are not sure how to start pulling down these strongholds or how to root it out, then you simply ask for help. Evangelist Jackie is here to help. Life Coach Erica is here to help. Apostle Sheila is here to help. And guess what? I'm here to help, but I'm ready to fight. Because I feel a righteous
Amen.
Indignation, and I'm tired of what the devil is doing to God's people, and especially with this white and black thing. Like the panic, all of that stuff, it is like so done. And I mean, that's going to always happen. It's always existed in the Bible. Like some things are not going to change, but some things are going to change. So
mm-hmm.
I offer no apologies. The mic is yours. Glory. Hallelujah. I feel good.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Do we thank everyone as we prepare to come to an end to this particular session on anxiety disorders? We thank everybody for their contribution tonight, because everyone had sound, foundational advice. Everyone had experiences to share that were relevant and prevalent to the day and the time that we live in. And we know the Bible talks about perilous times as we approach the end of time. We know that there'll be natural and emotional disasters during the end times. And we know that fear is false evidence appearing real.
Yes.
The enemy wants to take an experience and to blow it out of proportion and cause you to have an uneasy ness and have a sense of dread and a sense of evil foreboding regarding that experience. But we came to stomp on the head of the devil tonight.
Yes.
We came to dispel the rumors that fear caused in your mind and in your heart. We came to speak against the uneasiness, the worry, the anxiety, and the fear that have twisted you up and have held you bondage, whoever you are on this call on tonight. And we came to offer you the peace that Jesus is and that he died to give you based on Philippians 4, 6 through 7. The peace belongs to you, but you have to accept it. We've given you so many tools on tonight. We've given you practical, foundational things that you can do to help to overcome anxiety. We've also offered you opportunities on how to engage your insurance company, engage your mental health professionals. The best thing to do is be honest. And the other thing to do is simply ask for help. If you need help, ask for help. There's a new suicide helpline that's nationwide. It's 988, and if your anxiety takes you to the point where it's uncontrollable and it takes you to the point where you cannot overcome it and the enemy is speaking to you about taking your own life, I would encourage you to call 988. Don't sit there isolated, because that's one of the things that he wants to do is isolate you. And don't sit there isolated in the womb of the bondage that he's tried to create. Ask for help. Reach out for help. Go to your church. Talk to your pastor. Talk to someone, a trusted person in your life. And like Stacy said, we are here. We are not only here on Friday nights for 2 hours, but we are here 24/7. I can't even count the times that I've gotten calls in the middle of the night with people who need to be counseled. That's part of our calls. That's part of our mission as life coaches, as ministers of the gospel, as people simply who want to help those who need help. So I'd like to give Erica and Stacy the opportunity to share as we close. And we thank you again for engaging us on this subject of another mental health disorder, anxiety disorder, which is manifested as panic attacks, which is manifested as different distresses that we've shared on tonight. So, Erica, and then Stacy, to close out, please.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, Apostle Sheila. This is a very serious topic, like many of the ones that we have, you know, talked about. And the overall, not the consensus, but the main contributing factor is fear. That's what sends us into the panics, and we have all these physical things going on, heart attacks, and, you know, it's just our bodies are not built for that. We were never built to carry around so much fear, so much anxiety, so much panic. We weren't built for that. That's why we have so many physical problems, and they're often caused by fear, stress, whatever's going on in the world. We weren't meant for that. Our bodies are not strong enough to withhold all of that negative energy in our bodies, and that's what's causing us to push ourselves to an early grave. It's what's going on in this world, so we have to equip ourselves with God, with the word of God. We have to equip ourselves to be out here and to deal with this. And the thing about it is we take these things in on our own a lot of times. You know, some of us don't have a relationship with God. There's no judgment. You know, it took me a while. Before I had a relationship with God, I was, 40 by the time I even started. So it's never too late. There's no judgment here. We're just saying that, you know, basically God is the only way. He wrote a book. He inspired the book, the Bible, to give us instruction on how to live, how to deal with all the stuff that we are now dealing with, because he knew it was coming beforehand. So he wrote a book. He inspired the writings of the Bible to give us the tools that we need to deal with what was coming our way, because he knew it would be here and he knew we would need something to help us get through all of this without, you know, going to an early grave, without, you know, making ourselves sick and, you know, in worry about every little thing that comes our way. And he equipped us. We have the equipment. I mean, not everyone knows about it. Like I said, there's no judgment, and that's why we all are on this line, is to let you know this is the only true way to deal with it. That's why we're here. We're here because someone before us equipped us and helped lead us to God. So now we're giving back, and we want to see everyone healthy. So we're on this line for that reason. We want everyone to be whole, happy, and healthy, because that's what we were created to be. We weren't created to worry all the time and to panic and to make ourselves sick and to go through this over and over again on a daily basis, one thing after another, because life doesn't stop. Life will always continue, which means you will always have an obstacle coming your way waiting to just knock you off your game. You know, and that's why we need one another, to pour into one another with the proper tools so we can fight all of this stuff. So the best advice I can give is, I'm not pushing anyone right now to be in a relationship with God, but give it a try. Take it slow, take your time. And if that's not working out for you right now, you know, you seek help. There's nothing wrong with that. People are on this earth for a reason. They're gifted for a reason. Like, you have doctors, lawyers, you got electricians and engineers and things of that nature. Everyone is gifted with something. So we have the counselors and the therapists and the psychiatrists and all those people, because they're gifted in that field so they can help the people who need it. So it's nothing wrong with you seeking help. We can't do this on our own. So my advice, you know, talk to somebody. Seek help and get what you need so you can get your healing, and we can get this world on its way to where it was meant to be, which is a world of happy, healthy, and whole people. I'm done.
Thank you, Erica. I appreciate that. Stacy.
Yes, I'm here. I've been messing up tonight with the yes, I'm going to close out. And is it okay if I give a prophetic word, please?
Absolutely.
Okay. The prophetic word tonight is involving decisions. Tonight we heard a lot. We received a lot of information. So we're going to, all of us, nobody is exempt. We all need to make decisions. We all going to have a crisis. We're going to face something that may be a little bit fearful. But this prophetic word, don't get mad at me, but it's in the word. I'm not going to sit here and prophesy about no house or no car or no husband. We ain't prophesying. We're going to prophesy from the word. And the instructions in this word is going to help you to advance to this next level of trusting God as you come out of fear. So the prophetic word is found in Exodus, the 14th chapter, and verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see them again no more forever. So prophetic instruction one, fear not. That's a command. It is not optional. If you do a word search in the Bible and you put in fear, you'll see how many times in there God commands us not to fear. So the first prophetic instruction is right out of Exodus 14 and 13. And as I break this down to you, my prayer for those of you that have been, and listen to me carefully, when you start panicking, you go run into the prophet, the man, not the one who gives the prophetic word. Stop running to man and start going to God. Put God first, keep God first, and go to his word. Because the prophetic word is the word that you need to hear, not the word that's going to tickle your ears. Because when you listen to these false prophets, they're part of the powers of darkness that want you to panic, that want you to operate in fear so that they can prostitute you and take your money. And for some of you, they want to sexually rape you and molest you. So take heed to what God is saying tonight. So the second prophetic instruction is stand still. Earlier, Apostle Sheila gave examples about contacting, counselors, anybody that got insurance, the back of your car, they have the behavioral numbers for behavioral health. But in that moment, you know, when we were little, we learned stop, drop, and roll with the fire department. So stop, drop, pray. Stop, drop, be still. Stop, drop, be quiet. Don't say nothing. Don't open your mouth. You don't have to defend yourself. God is your minister of defense. So now, prophetic word number three, see the salvation of the Lord that God will show you. So right here, I want you to execute your faith because God is going to show you. See the salvation of the Lord that God will show you. God is going to show you that he is Jehovah Gabor. He is going to show you that he is the God of battles. Now, he used Moses in this text. For those of you that are not familiar with this text, when Moses and the Israelites were standing in front of the Red Sea and they began to panic and anxiety and fear kicked in because they could not cross the Red Sea. They had too many people. It was no way they could do it. But they panicked because Pharaoh and his army was in pursuit behind them. And I can imagine they heard the wheels of the chariots turning. They heard the horses running. So they had no choice but to stand still because in that very moment they had nowhere to go. So see the salvation of the Lord that God will show you. So when God instructed Moses to lift up his rod, that's when God opened up the Red Sea. So God is about to open up your Red Sea, and the fourth prophetic word is, you will see the Egyptians no more forever. So whoever the Egyptians are, whatever the Egyptians are, your problems, your trials, your tribulations, whatever paralyzed you, whatever caused the panic attack, whatever caused the anxiety, whatever caused the fear, all of that, you will see it again no more by faith. Now, if you don't have to feel anything special in your body, in your spirit, in your heart, in your soul, by faith, please receive this prophetic word because it is a promise to you from God's word. It has nothing to do with Erica. It has nothing to do with Apostle Sheila. It has nothing to do with Evangelist Jackie. And it has nothing to do with the pastor of poetry, Stacy Lunsford. It is based on the word of God. Take God at his word because Pharaoh and his army, they got drowned in the Red Sea. So your fear, your anxiety, the panic, everything that you have been going through, as we come to the close, I want you to say, bye-bye, so long. We have no need of you. We learned what we needed to learn. Get out and shut the door. And Apostle Sheila, I'm done.
Oh, you know what? I hate to interrupt. I just got one thing real quick. There was something I wanted to mention. I'm sorry. There was something I wanted to mention. There's a song that Kirk Franklin wrote that I absolutely love, and it's called Hello Fear. And I just wanted to say that to everyone. That's a good song to listen to in regards to fear and anxiety and stuff like that. It really is. It's a good song. It's talking about fear and how it's introducing itself. It's saying hello, but it's time for you to go. So it aligns with what you just talked about, Stacey. What you just mentioned, that song aligns right with that. So it's called, again, it's Hello Fear by Kirk Franklin.
Okay, I'm going to Google it. And thank you for elaborating on it, because that's really what we need to do. Like, everybody right now, wherever you are, just say goodbye. Like, speak it. Put it in the atmosphere. Renounce the spirit of fear. Renounce the spirit of anxiety. Renounce the spirit of worry. Renounce that panic attack. Stop saying, I have panic attacks. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. You're accepting something that the enemy wants you to have so that you can't live a prosperous life, an abundant life that Jesus wants you to live. Jesus died for us to have life and life more abundantly. So open your mouth tonight. Don't be afraid. And just tell whatever it is, goodbye, you got to go. And bind that thing. Tie it up. Look, the devil done twisted you up long enough. Now twist him up in his demons. They got to go. But Apostle Sheila, you did a wonderful job tonight. I want to thank you so much for the discussion, and the questions that you asked were really, really good. I did take some notes, and you and Erica, we can debrief, you know, later off the air, because I think there's some key things that we could still get out of this discussion. And for those of you that are listening, we are in overtime right now. I want to make sure no one has a question or a prayer request, but we meet every Friday at 7 p.m. And next Friday, we will be discussing what is the purpose of your mask. And I will be the host next Friday, and we welcome you all to come back and join us. And please continue to pray for Apostle Sheila, Life Coach Erica, and myself, because God has really given us wonderful topics to bring to the table. And as we are studying and preparing and, you know, just trying to bring this information to you all, we do go through things. And we know that God is in control, but we need your prayers because lives are being changed. And please feel free to share the broadcast with those that you feel it can be a blessing to. But please feel free to reach out to us if you need help at any time. We are all available, and we're here for you. So everyone have a blessed night. And Apostle Sheila, you could give your remarks and just close us out.
Amen. Thank you so much again for joining us. It's been a very informative and educational evening. Thank you again to Stacey for opening this platform for such engaging conversation. Everyone have a blessed night.
God bless. Good night.
God bless. Good night.